the ballroom dancing. It's a very fairly visible event. A lot of people from the who are public figures show up, from politicians to actors and so on. Usually, it's done in the city hall, which is the Austrian style, beautiful building, renovated, and they bring professional dancers in all the white gowns and black tuxedos, and they really show how it's properly done, much like the New Year's Eve traditional concert from Vienna. There's an orchestra there, and there's a waltz, proper waltz dancing. You can almost imagine the Blue Danube flowing by. Beautiful sight, beautiful sight. They put round tables around the balcony, many places for people to stand and watch and dance. And there are some side rooms as well, where different kinds of music, different stages go on at the same time, different kind of music. And so some presentations, some dances by professionals, then everybody's invited to dance. And the whole night is, it starts at 8, it ends at 4 a.m. I mean, it's some serious 8 hours of music. And then there's also tango and salsa and all kinds of ballroom dancing and good food and wine and juice, soft drinks and whatever, beer. There was one salsa band from Cuba that was gorgeous music. That was on the second floor. Then there are local as well dancers who people who train, who are trained to dance. Beautiful tango event. Then a folk dance group from Croatia, from Split in Croatia, came in. They did a beautiful job. Then a couple of opera singers from Graz in Austria were also invited, and then they had beautiful performance. Then traditional Austrian dancer, Midnight, and they always do it. Anyway, I met so many people. So many people actually, it was wonderful that a lot of people recognized me, wanted to take pictures with me. I met some people who I've seen people that I haven't seen in 30 years or so, some of them from my hometown, some of them I've never met, but we heard of each other and from all over Bosnia and Herzegovina. And it was very useful. And this connection actually came with the person who organized the event, came through that because somebody introduced us and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I wanted to invite you as a special guest and I couldn't, you know, I didn't know how to find you, but we'll do it next year." And so we talked about it. But then he had a special relationship with Austria. Both culture and economic sense. And so it's going to help me get introduced to political and cultural and economic establishment in Austria. And Austria is the largest investment of its historical presence in the country. And so that was wonderful. As far as then the next thing was Tuzla. That was actually really cool. That was Monday morning. And the Sunday night was actually my regular Facebook Live. And that was pretty cool, actually, with nice conversation with people. Then early in the morning, 6:30 a.m. Monday, trip to Tuzla. They have this conference on communications and information technology organized with colleagues from Slovenia. And they wanted me to be a keynote and talk about careers in advanced technologies. And I basically, and it was in English, so I spoke for about 45 minutes, but my focus was, and I talked about technology careers briefly, but then I paid a lot of attention on things like ethics, and common sense and problem solving and communication with others and the knowledge of business. And they didn't expect that angle. So that actually, everybody said afterwards, that shook them up, that they, what they intuitively knew was important, never had it presented so explicitly and forcefully and clearly that that was relevant and important. And so we had a lot of conversation afterwards on that. Then went to visit with one privately owned healthcare organization. They provide clinical services. They're actually building two hospitals. They have this clinic that's almost like urgent care clinic, and they are helping people in a pretty large group, and they told me about the problems they're having with a country that is not providing basic conditions for their success, and yet they are fighting and trying to get approval to build a hospital, two of them with specialty offerings, and to employ 250 people, and nobody's really hurrying up to help them do that. Then had a, in a nearby town, Lukavat, at a very beautiful lake, and in one of the best restaurants. Senat of Bosnia, that's the name of it. The met with about 13, 14, 15, don't remember now, people from the region who have their own private larger or companies, some physicians, some professors, and talked about their support for the platform for progress and engagement in solutions in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and their advice on how it can be done. Arrived to Bosnia, to Sarajevo, maybe it was 1 a.m., went to bed at 3, got up at 5 to go to the, to get to the plane for Italy. Now, Italy was really interesting. Arrived to the, at the stadium, parked in one of the nearby hotels because the information on the internet said that there's no parking available anymore close to the stadium. It's a beautiful new stadium. That's where Juventus, Turin soccer club, big club. That's where Ronaldo, for those who know soccer, is playing these days, one of the stars. So we parked at the hotel, and then went outside to catch a taxi. Didn't see a taxi, but we saw a big bus with a Bosnian flag on it. So we ran there. Are you going to the stadium? Yes, we are. Can we come with you? Sure. Can we just leave something in the car and come back? Yes, but hurry up. But we go there. We go to the car, and then the bus leaves. And what? What just happens? We just told us, no, it's fine. Of course, we started yelling, and we noticed that the bus was a roundabout. Yeah, the bus kept going in circles. So we realized something was funny happening. So we run to the car, we took the stuff, we go back to the roundabout. They stop for a second to let us in. We go in and say, why did you go around? Because where we were parked, it was illegal, so we had to move, and we couldn't move. It was a roundabout, so we had to wait for you. So we drove in circles while waiting for us. Only Bosnians could do that. So we stopped, and we go to the airport, of course. Suddenly somebody picks up the accordion. They start singing. It's a bus of the fans from Austria, I believe, who came just for the game. They traveled the whole night, but it didn't matter. They started singing with flags everywhere. We arrived to the stadium. And now this is all in the context of a match 3 days before where Bosnia played Finland away and expecting to win 3-0, they lost 2-0 from really subpar. Normally, Finland played well, but Bosnia should win that game. But they showed no effort. And in the context of the huge disappointment, we arrive at the stadium and you see a sea of black, white and blue shirts, Bosnian colors, all these people, like a sea of them there, and the music everywhere, singing and people in a good mood. We took pictures, million people wanted to take pictures with us and we with them. And it, you go inside, and then of course on the Bosnian side, yeah, you have the on each ticket there is a number of your seat. Nobody cares. People want to sit next to people they go, and nobody minds. I mean, you know, sit, find a way. I think we were a quarter of that stadium, all the Bosnian fans in the middle of Italy. We were starting to, and they played so well, and they actually led first half 1-0. They lost ultimately 2-0. Unfortunately, they played well. They were even team, but Italy won fair and square 5. But those fans never stopped chanting and cheering. And yeah, they lost. They got disappointed. But they thanked the players, and the players came to the side and then waved. And it was so beautiful. I was so moved because that's the Bosnia I want to see. You know, it's when you have this winning attitude, you say, you know, the important thing is we play well. We will win games. There is another game. Don't be feel like crushed when the world is coming in. No, we showed heart. They played well against one of the best teams in the world. Away, played well, and that attitude. And it was all done nicely. There were no incidents. Nobody complained. Nobody threw anything at the police or the on the field. There was a little boy, I was joking with a little boy, he had a really beautiful scarf. I said, can I have that? And I was just joking, and he just took it off and gave it to me. I started crying. And his mother said, oh, he's never done that, this is great. And I said, thank you, I was just joking, I want you to have it, it's going to be cold. Interestingly enough, when the game was done, that mom actually found me with her child, and he said, "Yeah, he really wants you to have it." So I ended up. I went home with that. So it was all so fulfilling, to tell you the truth. That trip drove back to Venice. They kept us for an hour at the stadium just to make sure that there's no conflict with Italian fans, and waited for them to leave the stadium. Then we left the stadium, drove to Venice for 4.5 hours. 2 hours of sleep, came back to Bosnia. 2 hours later, I was on the road to Zenica, mm-hmm. where we had that meeting of the of all the members of the Platform for Progress, where they elected their governing board. And that was really also beautiful. They sang the anthem of the movement. They have about 570 or so members. There are 253 delegates, the largest thus far event in terms of the number of delegates, which clearly show the movement of the movement, that we have this progressive path, that we have the momentum. There are more and more people engaged, and we elected 11 people to the governing board, and most of them are very young, very young. The head is very young, the chair of that. And the message was clear that we are up and coming. It was cool.
The soccer game itself, with the fans there, were you recognized, I guess? Did some people know who you were, or was it just to get together and know and explain that while you were there, maybe?
Well, okay, so there were a lot of people there. But I would say that there were about 60, 70, 80 people wanted to take a picture with me. Others, maybe there were a couple of hundred that were pointing at me. You notice when people are pointing or looking, sure, or staring at me. During the half, some of them invited me to come down so I can talk to them. And I was in front of it. Everybody was up there, and I was close to the field. And so people could see me. So you could see that people are waiting. And I would say I was really positively, I was very positively surprised how many people actually knew me, which was also a sign that I'm not no longer the unknown person that is getting around. And even walking toward that bus going toward to the stadium, people coming out of the hotel, those all the Bosnians fans, out of 20 that came out of the hotel, 10 decided to approach me and say, can we take a picture and with you and shake your hands. And they actually liked the fact that I was there with them. I mean, politicians go to a suite and stay there and they are seen on TV. And first, I'm not invited to be in the suite. A second, I wouldn't go. I'm there with fans, and actually several of them asked me, I remember this question, where is your security man? And I pointed them at them and I said, you. And so they're like that. Yes. I don't need it if I'm afraid of my own people and what kind of representative I am. And so that was cool.
Well, and the importance of appearances like this, because you broached on my next question there. It's like, obviously, the politicians, the current politicians in Bosnia and Herzegovina, do not go out and attend an event like you did. And the importance, other than being a fan and it's cool to go to the game, I mean, it's got to be important for you and the message that you are part. You're being there with them, and you're being seen with them, and it's not the norm anymore.
That is true. I mean, almost, I don't want to brag about what I do, but I like the fact that this is the only way I can be, and that is just a regular person, and I am with people whenever I can. I enjoy that. I really enjoy doing it. And people see and feel that the only way I am who I am, and that is that I'm a regular person, and I cannot pretend that the job that I do makes me different from them. Better or worse, different than them. I'm just a person doing my job, and we have to do it all together. And that sense of me being with them, where they can just stop by and say, can I take a picture with you, or give me advice, or shake hand, and it's invaluable. And I think they're learning that that's how it should be, because it's not me. I mean, in normal countries, politicians, even presidents, don't go with big escalades surrounded by four or five other escalades, surrounded by motorcade. Of course, not all the presidents, not all the countries are equally important and understand that. But there are countries where presidents go to work on the bike or public transportation, and with public transportation. And I want to be one of those, where people will... The country will be normal enough that the people who you're serving are your protection, because they want you to succeed, because they know you're working for them, and they can approach you and tell you what they think, because if you surround yourself with the advisors, you'll never know what the real life is and what people live through.
Sure.
In their country. So I know it's a naive way of looking at it, but I think that's how it should be, actually. It's a job to do. It doesn't give you any importance. It just gives you responsibility.
And let me know when you don't want to brag about yourself, because I'm more than happy to do it for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And then just in terms, and I'm witnessing it from a distance, you're there firsthand, but whether it's a visit to Zenica, Tuzla, Mostar, other communities, Sarajevo, a soccer match in Italy or other countries, people, I hear it. I mean, people, your message is getting out there. There's no question that it's happening. And I always come up with the wrong adjective, but I'm going to throw them out. I mean, is it rewarding? Is it gratifying to you to know that, you know, we're over a year into this and it's being embraced? There was a lot that you had to overcome to get it to this point, and it seems like it's definitely happening to me.
I think it is happening because I see what change is happening with other parties. For example, the other day, the leading party on the Bosniak side, SDA, had a town hall meeting. And they basically said they want to change, they want to become younger, they want to be more inclusive of other nationalities and nations, and they want to be more pro-Bosnian than pro-Bosniak. And I basically said, they want to be us. And they are the largest, the biggest party. So all of them are getting the message that our message is getting through. And they are copying our messages simply because they think that's what people want to hear. I think that this is the best compliment and the sign that something interesting is happening. So I'm really grateful that this is so, you know.
So are we still rating sleep overrated, or is...
people often ask me, how do you manage to attend all of those events, and are you tired? And I am not tired, but I feel that this lack of sleep is catching up with me, and that I'm chronically sleepy, but not feeling tired. It's not that I don't wanna, I cannot do something. I can do whatever it takes, but I'm sleepy in the process.
Sure.
Very sleepy in the process. So I might not be as effective as I would be otherwise. But then you walk the street, and this lady who I don't know says in passing by, she takes off her sunglasses and says, "Mr. Hatzkari, can you promise me something?" And I said, "Yes, of course. What is it?" She said, that you will never leave us. And then, how do you then feel tired after that? And then I went to a meeting with a person who organized, Saturday night was, and I mentioned that, the ballroom dance, Austrian embassy put together this ballroom dance event, and it's a waltz style and really fancy style, and I was there. So that thing goes until 4 a.m., from 8 p.m. until 4 a.m., and I stayed until 1:30 or so, couldn't last longer. But then, so the person who organized that event, I had a meeting with him right before I came to talk to you. And because we did not know each other, he recognized me and he said, "Can you please talk?" And I said, "Yeah, I would love to." Then while we were talking, another person goes by, takes a look, notices me, takes sunglasses. Here, everybody wears sunglasses as soon as the sun is out, or a possibility of a likelihood that the sun might come out. And then she, from a distance, says, "Are we going forward?" Said, "Of course. There's no other way forward." So things like that, you know, give you a really boost. And then I was today at a meeting with the head of the Academy of Arts and Sciences of Bosnia and Herzegovina, which is a state function. The country, the state, establishes an Academy of Arts and Sciences that is supposed to maintain and support creation of and preservation of knowledge. And so I asked him, I'm establishing this a think tank of sorts. Mm-hmm. I call it State Council, but think tank of people who can think long term. And I asked him if he would be willing to participate, and he said yes. And that's also gratifying. I've talked to about 25 or so people in the last 7 days about that. There were three. One is a think tank. The second one is the set of expert teams. And then the third one is the Economy Council, a Council on Economic Affairs. So total, 25 for the this think tank and additional 5 for the other, so 30. Almost 2 of them said no, and not because they didn't want to, but because they don't want to be exposed in terms of politics, but they love the idea. But everybody else said yes, of course. And that's gratifying too.
Sure.
People recognize that there's no long-term thinking. And what's also gratifying is that people are not afraid to say, yes, we'd like to participate. And I'm saying they're not afraid because there are a lot of nationalists around in their parties. And they are vengeful people. Those who dare to talk to somebody from another group, they label them as traitors and therefore not worthy of any help or support, and worse than that, they might be attacked. So I'm really grateful that all those people from all nationalities, religious affiliations, whether they have them or not, whether they live in Bosnia and Herzegovina or elsewhere, they all said, yes, we would love to participate, which is cool.
It's very cool.